G'day footy fans and welcome back to the podcast. We have a new product alert from our sponsors Manscaped, who have just released the Weed Whacker nose and ear trimmer here in Australia. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hairs sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as good as your twig and berries. Liam, are you a nose hair trimmer? Are you on board?
I am a nose hair trimmer and I've always had a bit of an issue about finding the right one, to be honest. And the Weed Whacker came to my door last week and I used it immediately because it already had a bit of battery in it. And it works like a treat, actually. And it was a pretty good, durable little device.
It is. I've been super impressed with it as well. And like you, I've had my nose hair issues in the past. I can count quite a number of times where I've been at work in a team meeting and talking away as you do, and then I'll get to my car afterwards, catch a glimpse in the rearview mirror and see a cheeky hair or two poking out of my nose, and then you get that sinking feeling of that whole time I was speaking, they were looking at me thinking, this bloke's nose hairs are creeping me out. So you don't want to be that person. Don't be Byron. So fortunately, as a listener of the OTL NRL Fantasy Podcast, you get 20% off and free shipping on their new Weed Whacker with the code OTL20. But just to rattle off a few of the benefits of this tool, as opposed to some of the older ones on the market that I've been using, it's the only one that uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. That was really hard to say, but I don't know what that means, but it certainly seems to work. It's also got a really good contour design that enhances the overall trimming experience, and it's also waterproof, which is probably my favorite feature, Liam. You can just get it done when you're in the shower, in and out, ready to go.
Exactly like Lawnmower 3.0, both water resistant.
Yeah, great feature on both of those products, but you can check all of them out at manscaped.com. And don't forget to use the code OTL20 at checkout for free shipping and 20% off. And of course, you'll be supporting the show by doing so. So we appreciate your support. A thought I had, Liam, through the week was, as you know, I'm completely consumed by NFL fantasy at the moment, and I'm watching a lot of content around the game. And there's one particular podcast, The Fantasy Footballers, and I was looking at some of their older videos, and they did a studio tour. So they had this amazing facility. You know this because I sent you the YouTube link. But essentially, they had three or four offices, a big games and rec area. They had a wall with about 12 televisions so they can watch all the NFL games at the same time. And it was really, really impressive. And it just got me thinking, do you think the listeners would be interested in a bit of a studio tour for OTL of the spare bedroom, Liam? Should we tee that up?
The old computer room. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think it's worth a little try, a little Insta Live little video.
Yeah, it might not be long enough for YouTube. It might be a short show.
Yeah, probably about 3 or 4 seconds, probably the size of the room. It's a fairly newish house. And as we know, the average size bedroom for a new place is fairly small, 1 by 1 meter, I think.
Yeah, so we're just squeezing in here, but maybe an Instagram reel in the preseason.
Yeah, I think so.
Keep your eye out for that. But Liam, of course, we had game two over the weekend. Plenty to talk about. We've picked 3 or 4 topics to delve into a little bit deeper, but great to see the Blues get it done and send it to a decider so we get a really interesting game three.
Yeah, they really stepped up, didn't they, in game two. Obviously, the man of the match and the one that everyone's been talking about is Nathan Cleary. And I think the main thing I like to see about his performance was that he really stepped up and showed character for someone in his early 20s. He had a lot of pressure over the last couple of weeks. And yeah, he just outshone really, didn't he?
It's not only his relatively young age, but also the criticism that he faced through the week. You'd have to think someone like Andrew Johns would be someone that Nathan Cleary would look up to and respect quite a bit. So for him to receive that criticism from him, it would have added pressure, but didn't he respond? His kicking game was aggressive yet controlled. I think he forced 3 dropouts from long kicks. He also had a 40-20 at the end of the game as well. So a really good performance from Nathan Cleary and one that the state needed.
Yeah, I really love that play that he did. I think he actually got a dropout for it when he kicked the ball quite early and Adokar was just running. I think he clocked up something like 37 kilometers an hour, which topped the charts for game two. But yeah, that was such an exciting and aggressive kick.
Well, you've heard it before, a kick's only as good as its chase, and Adokar was chasing everything all night. So, Cleary has a thanks, I think, going the way of Adokar. Definitely helped his performance. But yeah, it was really courageous to see him take that risk of those early kicks, and they took a bit of a leaf out of the book of the Queenslanders from game one, I think. Kicking early, get it down into the corners, chase hard and defend well. So, if they can do that again in game three, they'll certainly be putting themselves in a position to wrap up the series, but we'll preview game three a little bit later in the podcast. But Liam, Cameron Munster, he was taken off after just 3 minutes. He obviously had a concussion due to a collision with Tyson Frizzell. He was replaced by Ben Hunt, and we noticed him missing straight away, didn't we?
Yeah, that was a massive blow, and we'll talk about Ben Hunt as well a bit later on, but we know that he didn't actually train in the halves for the Queensland, and yeah, I think that was just obviously showing, yeah, with Munster missing.
Absolutely. He's their X factor. He's a leader in their team as well. And I think if you're looking for a game breaker at any stage of the game, it's Munster who they're getting that early ball to. So to miss him throughout that one was a major blow. But on the Blues side, I think it was the forward pack that really laid that platform for those players like Nathan Cleary and Cody Walker, who were all in the highlights. And Finucan off the bench, Liam, you've got a stat there, 123 metres in 26 minutes off the bench. Not a bad performance.
Yeah, that was a perfect interchange performance by Finucan. He's someone that he's just a perfect Origin player from the bench, I think.
Yeah, he is. He's an incredible tackling technique, gets low and cuts people in half. Not too dissimilar to Jake Turbo, who was absolutely damaging in defense for the Blues as well. But a great performance off the bench. And another one that came off the interchange that had an immediate impact was Nathan Brown.
Yeah, towards the end of the game, he didn't play too much, about 15 minutes, but what a first hit up.
Yeah, put Jake Friend, I think it was. On his backside. and I think I tweeted at the time that Nathan Brown's hit up was everything we wanted and more in his first touch in Origin. So great to see. We actually talked about Nathan Brown hopefully getting a start at some stage through the series and seeing the crazy eyes. And yeah, he did well. He certainly didn't disappoint. And you've also got a bit of a comparison here, Liam, between game one and two. So only two New South Wales forwards ran for over 100 metres in game one, but they stepped it up in game two.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? With five in game two. So a massive step up, and it'll be interesting to see them in game three, because as you can see there, they're quite imperative for the Blues.
They are. And I think one of the key changes to that team that allowed those meters was Junior Paulo being moved to the bench and Payne Haas starting. I think having Payne Haas in the starting lineup paid an immediate dividend. His energy and his go forward really helped us in those early stages to go with what was a fast starting Queensland side. But I think just as important is Paulo coming off the bench with that late footwork and the passing game. He really created that change of pace that you need to shake things up and shift the momentum. So I think Payne Haas and Junior Paulo both had a much improved game from game one. And a lot of that was to do with that shift in those positions.
Well, another big talking point which involves Payne Haas is obviously the Tino versus Haas bit of a scuffle.
Yeah, wasn't it good to see? I mean, obviously, you can't punch him. We're not condoning that sort of thing. But I have to admit, it was the first stage through the game and through an NRL game in quite some time that I really moved forward to the edge of my seat to watch that one. It was exciting and great to see two young guys, they're only 20 years old, so maybe we are in for one of those great Origin rivalries that'll be for years to come, a Gallen and a Miles or a Big Dell and Mad Dog. Wouldn't that be great to see?
It would be. What about Nate Miles? I haven't seen that name for a while. He was always one of the ones you'd love to hate.
He was. I mean, you love him if you're a Queenslander. But Gallen and Nate Miles had some really good battles. They had a bit of a scuffle themselves. So, to see them clash again in game three is going to add to the spectacle. They are both free to play. So, let the boys rip in.
So, before we get to the preview of game three, we've got some news and notes from around the league. So, we'll start off with Josh Mansour. So, he was told the day after the grand final in a cafe that he's no longer wanted by the club, which obviously was a bit harsh in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see that from a player like Mansour. The listeners would know he's an OTL favourite from a fantasy perspective. We love those tackle-busting wingers. But, yeah, he was very open and honest about how disappointed and shocked he was. It's interesting. We watched the grand final with a good friend of ours, Ryan, and he actually called this that day and said, no, he won't be around for us. Charlie Staines coming through is the future, and they're going to look to clear up some salary cap to be able to retain some of those other key players that are coming off contract in the next year or so. So I guess the question is where to for Mansour now, and does he still have some good footy ahead of him being 30 years old, a similar age to us?
Yeah, I think he's still got at least another good solid season in him. We saw this year he had one of his probably best seasons in the last few years, because we saw last year it was quite disappointing, and yeah, he really stepped up this year. But yeah, West Tigers are reportedly interested.
Yeah, interesting to see that they've really come to the front as one of the most interested clubs for him. I think he'll get some interest from a lot of clubs, but what a fantasy combo that would be at the Tigers with David Norfoluma and Josh Mansour. Sign me up for that. I do agree with you in that I think Mansour's got, you know, a couple of good years in him yet to come. He's keeps himself in great shape, and he's such a strong ball-running winger that is so important for any rugby league team.
Another one West Tigers are also after is James Roberts.
Yeah, we'll have to watch how that one plays out. I believe he was released on compassionate grounds, so I'm not too sure what James Roberts' plans are, but it'd be such a shame to see him not get snapped up pretty quickly, because he's full to the brim with talent.
Yeah, I saw a picture today with him having a coffee with Justin Pascoe, and I just liked it because the little image that I saw, it was just obviously a sneaky fan just taking one around in the corner, and yeah, he's one of those
Hopefully
ones.
The flash didn't go off.
No, I don't think it did. But he's one of those players that if you can get him at a decent price, he might be worth the gamble.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his speed is pretty well unmatched in the NRL, and we know that he can get early ball and create a try from nothing. So he'll be a valuable addition to whoever's lucky enough to pick him up. But sticking with the outside backs, Liam, we've got one from the Blue and White that's popped up in the news recently, and that's Remus Smith. He signed a new 2-year deal with the Melbourne Storm. Looking at this one, do you think this is going to be another case of Bellamy picking up someone with potential and really getting them to realise it?
It's definitely an interesting one to watch, isn't it? Because we know Bellamy's track record and the Storm's track record on players like this. So, yeah, I think he's definitely going to be improved. But, yeah, how much, I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see. I can just see, with his size and his aerial ability, I just know he's going to end up being a superstar, and we're going to look back and go, why did we let this guy go? I am a big Remus Smith fan, so I'm a little bit nervous about that. But something with the Bulldogs I'm a little bit more excited about, Liam, is Barrett and his first day in the Blue and White. We've seen those images over social media in the skin-tight Bulldogs polo.
Of course it's skin-tight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why wouldn't you?
That's exactly right. So I couldn't do anything more than sit back and admire the great man in his new Dogs polo through the week, and it is a signal of hope for my team, Liam. But a funny story about Trent Barrett. So we were at a local beach not too long ago, and we're there with the kids and with our partners, and we just seen this absolute specimen coming down the lake area there on one of those stand-up paddle boards. And as he got closer, we realized it was Trent Barrett, and I don't think I've ever wanted to run to the car and put my shirt back on quicker than that in my life.
Yeah, all I remember is seeing some guy just paddling from the distance, really, in like a sunset type of thing, and he looked amazing. And I was like, this guy must be amazing. In his early or mid 40s, and he's couldn't believe it. But he actually lived around the corner from me for about 5 years, probably about 300 or 400 meters away from where I lived, and I saw him all the time. Actually, top bloke.
Really good guy. I've had him come along to my football clubs in the past when I was playing and take us through drills, and obviously looked up to him quite a bit at that time. And every time you see him walking down the street, he's always happy to say g'day as well. So if you can't tell from the excitement in my voice, I'm stoked that he's going to be leading the Dogs around as the main coach there next year. Something that was a little bit funny, I thought, through the week, Liam, Wayne Bennett, he's come out with another doozy of a quote, and he's asking, do they drug test journalists? And this, of course, was in response to headlines that the Queensland team that Bennett had put together was the worst that they'd seen in years. Is he getting cheekier with age?
He is, isn't he? I think we've seen a few of the times we mentioned last week when Queenslanders won and he come out a bit of dancing and things like that. He's doing all these odd things these
singing
days.
Singing as well. He's the full package.
Yeah. It's a new Bennett, but I like it.
Yeah, me too. So he's developing into one of the great characters for mine. And I'm also loving what I'm seeing from the Cheese and Munster as well. So there was actually some vision that I thought was really interesting. His team had essentially just been flogged in game two of Origin, and they cut to Wayne Bennett. And I don't think I've seen him happier. He was kicked back in his chair. He was laughing. He had the attention of the whole room. He was casually sipping a can of Coke, and he didn't by any stretch of the mile look like a nervous man. Does that scare you a little bit? He certainly feels like he's still in control, and Queensland are in a good place.
Yeah, I think him knowing that they're going to be coming back to a full house at Suncorp, where the Queensland government is giving them the thumbs up for full capacity, is going to be their 18th man. I think, I think he's smiling because of that.
I think that's a huge factor. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the preview for Game 3, but that's massive news that's only just broke. But another topic that's coming more and more into our news feeds and into these news articles is rugby league players transitioning to the boxing ring. Now, you and I love hitting pads and boxing bags. We're not ones to get in the ring by any stretch of the mile, so these guys are lunatics. They're doing this. But there's a charity event coming up called All Stars Boxing. The date is yet to be confirmed, but the headline is looking like it's going to be Junior Paulo and Josh Papali. Can you think of two guys that you'd least want to get into the ring with?
Definitely, but also I love this lineup as well, because sometimes when you see these charity boxing ones, there's always one clear winner that you think's going to win. But with this one, I think it's going to be quite tight.
Yeah, we're certainly not seeing that scenario with a professional athlete taking on an accountant or anything like that here. This is two big boys ready to throw down. And of course, Paulo, he does have some experience in the ring. He lost to Gallen back in 2016. And Big Papa, he's got that really strong family connection in the boxing world as well, with Alex Leopold being a former title challenger. So I think this will be a really entertaining bout. The boxing purists, they don't seem to like it, but Mundine, SBW, Gallen, guys like this, are they paving the way with their success and how serious they are taking the transition?
Yeah, I think they are. It's always one of those hard with the boxing purists. I don't think they'll take this one so much, but I'll be taking a keen eye. We'll brush up with our boxing. You never know. We might get the call up for commentary.
We could do. We've got the mic, so if it's BYO mic, we're all good.
We're all good.
Before we jump off this one, though, Liam, I wanted to ask you, which current NRL star would you least like to face off in the ring?
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? I'm just trying to think really.
For me,
really
it's the entire NRL, anyone rostered to the NRL.
Well, I always naturally think of someone like a forward, but then I think of someone like a James Roberts, and I can imagine him being quick, fast and ruthless.
Fast muscle fibers, yeah.
So, first thing I thought it was James Roberts, but obviously there'll be a much more
About Jackie Whiten.
Jackie Whiten, yeah.
He would knock you in next week.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have to do much. I think he'd have his left hand could.
Yeah. Tie one hand behind his back and he could potentially get it done. Liam, that's news and notes from around the league. It's time to jump onto Love It or Leave It now. Do you want to take us through the first one?
Yeah, so the first one is Addo Carr been the best performer over the last two games?
For me, this is a leave it. He has been exceptional. We talked about how well he was chasing Cleary's kicks in game two. But James Tedesco has to be worth a mention in my eyes here. So across the two games, he was brilliant. It was 300 meters in game one. And in his first outing as Blues captain in game two, he almost backed that up with 250 run meters. But he also had two try assists and a try. So Tedesco is probably just ahead for me. And I'd also argue that Cleary's game two, whilst he was really quiet in game one, would actually put him over the top. So that game two for Cleary was that good for me.
Yeah, I love it actually. I think Addo Carr has been the standout, but I do think in saying that as well, someone like Tedesco, sometimes you can become a bit blasé with him because he has these 8 to 8.5 out of 10 games, and that's just his norm.
It's the baseline. Yeah. It's what we come to expect. So, yeah, it works against him a little bit, I think. We're just so used to that brilliance.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And before we jump off this one, Liam, Addo Carr, we have had some news through the week. Unfortunately, I'm not getting my wish. He won't be joining the Bulldogs next year. He's sticking with the Melbourne Storm. And I think it'd be pretty hard to jump across to another team after just coming off a premiership win.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head there. He can go to the West Tigers or something like that, maybe for a bit of extra coin, but they might be finishing around 9th or 10th, where when you look at the Melbourne Storm, got a great setup. They're under great conditions there. They're going to be probably top four again next year. Yeah, why would you leave it?
Yeah, without a doubt. I agree. He's probably made the best decision for his career in that move, and we'll have to see where he goes from 2021 and beyond. But the next love it or leave it, Liam, staying on track here, is Queensland can't win game three without Munster.
Yeah, I love that one. I don't think they can, to be honest. As much as I do like Ben Hunt, I think he's a solid player. He's great because he can play in that hooker position from the interchange utility role. I still think that Cameron Munster is just that one step up in that playmaker role.
Couldn't agree more. This is a love it for me as well. Cameron Munster has been named, and I know you've looked at it a little bit more closely to me in terms of his chances of actually playing, but for mine, he has to be there to give Queensland a chance. I think I'd actually go as far as saying they also need to heavily involve Harry Grant from the bench to be a chance. So that with the added bonus of the crowd at Suncorp, there's certainly a chance, but I really felt like they missed AJ Brimson in terms of having that X factor in the team. And without Munster, makes it really tough.
So the next love it or leave it, Payne Haas will not be a top five pick in draft or set and forget captain in 2021.
Yeah, it's a love it for me, unfortunately. So Haas has actually told Walters that he doesn't want to play 80 minutes next year. He wants to focus on quality over quantity. And really, we're going to go into next year with that unknown of what exactly those reduced minutes look like. He's obviously going to start the year next year extremely expensive in Classic. But for mine, with that unknown, I can't have him there as a top five pick in draft or a set and forget captain. We have seen him score really well with 60 minutes or around that mark, and he'll certainly be relevant. But I'd have Cleary, DCE, Teddy McInnes, Cook, and maybe even a healthy Lolo ahead of him just off the top of my head. So I think people will be turning more toward the Clearys and McInnes as the set and forget captain options and the early draft picks. Where do you see him going? You're the draft expert of OTL. I'd be interested to get your thoughts on that side.
Yeah, I actually love this as well. 80 minutes at 20 years old takes a toll on your body, and he's got plenty of playing still left. So yeah, love it for me. In regards to draft, I would be definitely leaving Haas at the moment. I love this as well because we've got plenty to talk about in the preseason. Imagine we'll be filling up a lot of episodes, and on the social media, we'll be answering a lot of questions purely based on Haas before round one. But I'll be leaving him for draft, and probably before round one, I'll probably be leaving him as well and waiting to see what the play is for him.
Yeah, I think the wait and see for him will definitely be the play. But that's it for love it or leave it, Liam. Let's take a look at some of the player rankings from Fox Sports. We did this segment last week, so we've got four players from each team, and we've got the score that they were given by Fox Sports, and we're just going to react to that and see if we would be any different. Liam, we've got Tedesco up first, and they've given him a 9.
Yeah, I think that's about right. 8.5 to 9, I think's purely warranted for him.
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit earlier when talking about the best player for the Blues over the first two games. I think that's fair. However, given his performance in his first game as captain, I'd probably bump that up to a 9.5. So the question really I've got here is, I understand that Whiten did receive the Dally M, but is Teddy the best in the game over and above Whiten and Cleary right now? And does this captaincy of the Blues further cement that?
That's another tough one. You're providing me with some pretty good questions here that I have to mull over, but we can't do too much. Too much. I still think over the season, Cleary has been the standout player. But yeah, it's hard to argue with Teddy, isn't it?
It's interesting. Yeah, Teddy's the best player in the NRL, in my opinion. So I know there's a few in that conversation, but I just think he's absolutely incredible. But another outside back is on this list, Liam, and it's Daniel Tupou. They've given him 8 points.
Yeah, I'd probably give him an 8.5. I was very impressed with him. He made some decent runs, ran for some decent meters as well.
Yeah, he did, and he was another one. We've talked about Cleary receiving quite a lot of criticism through the week, but I think a lot of viewers come away from game one just remembering that forced offload that actually led to a Munster try for Tupou and left a bit of a sour taste in their mouth in terms of his overall performance. But if you take that away, he actually was really good in terms of his work in those tough carries and coming out of their own end. It was more of that in game two, wasn't it? So over 200 meters again. And to be fair, I think both Blues wingers far outplayed their opposite number. So they certainly did their job. And I think eight's pretty fair.
Yeah, I was never actually worried too much about him, even after game one, just due to the fact that he was one of the standout players in that position throughout the year. And now we'll look at Haas. So 9 out of 10, they scored him. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I can't argue with this one. I think I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but putting him in the starting lineup was, I think, a fantastic move. And he's young and hungry, and he's ready to rip in the early stages of the game. That first 10 minutes is so important in Origin, and he was certainly up to the task. I might even give him an extra 0.5 for getting stuck into the Queensland forwards the way he did, and with a bit of argy bargy as well to add to the spectacle. So a 9.5 for me there, and we'll wrap it up, Liam, with Nathan Cleary. They've got him as a 9. Where do you think that sits?
Yeah, I'd go for a 9.5 for Cleary. I'm always hard taskmaster, as I said last week. Giving a 10 to someone, I rarely do, so 9.5 for him.
Fair enough. It's a 10 from me, and the reason I'm giving that is when someone like the GOAT in Andrew Johns comes out and declares it one of the best kicking performances in Origin that they've ever seen, has to be a 10, surely. Can I twist your arm? Are you going to lock in a 10 or are you?
9.5, I'll stick with it. But he was highly improved. His kicking game and ball running was so much better. So, yeah, very close.
You are tough. You are tough. So that wraps up the Blues player rankings. Liam, do you want to take us through the Maroons?
So we'll kick things off with Ben Hunt, 5 out of 10. And I think he was fairly ordinary, especially in defense.
Yeah, he was certainly found out throughout stages of that game. And obviously, it wasn't the game script that he was expecting. I'd imagine he was hoping to come on at hooker and add a little bit of pace out of dummy half to spell Jake Friend. And I think you mentioned earlier he hadn't trained in the halves for Queensland. But is that an excuse for a utility player that has spent quite a lot of time playing in the halves? Surely you've got to prepare for any scenario if you're in that number 14 jersey.
Definitely. And also, as we both know, that he's played in the halves for the Dragons majority of the season. So, yeah, that shouldn't be too much of an excuse. I was fairly disappointed with him, say 4.5 for me.
Okay, yeah, I'd probably stick with the 5 that Fox Sports have given him. It is hard to rank halves too poorly when the forwards are sort of losing that battle through the middle as well. So I have got that in mind. I am a big Ben Hunt fan, but yeah, I think 5's pretty well fair. And I think that's what they gave Nathan Cleary and Keary in game one. So I can see why they've gone that way. But the next one, Liam, the same score, 5 points for DCE.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit harsh, to be honest. He did have a try assist, I think about a 5.5 for me.
Yeah, both the 7 and the makeshift 6 in this game definitely didn't have the impact that they wanted, but I felt DCE did a lot more than Ben Hunt, so I'd have to see him at least 0.5 higher than Ben Hunt, so I'll go 5.5 to 6.
Another one that I was fairly disappointed in was Valentine Holmes. So we saw him play in the fullback position, and there was talks with him and possibly moving to the wing, but as we saw with the team list today, he's staying in fullback. Are you surprised with that?
Yeah, well, he's named that way. I'm not sure if that's Wayne Bennett up to his old tricks.
Mind games.
It could be. I mean, he's obviously quite close with Corey Allen, coaching him at club level. He knows what he can do, and didn't he make the most of his opportunities with Latrell Mitchell being injured? So incredible, really, for him to be in the Origin decider. But yeah, Holmes, unfortunately, I think he needs probably a year or so in club land that he gets through without those injury disruptions, gets back into the groove, and then he'll work his way up to being that Origin star that we know he is, whether that's at fullback or on the wing. But Queensland are a much stronger side with AJ Brimson at fullback. I like Val on the wing, so it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But 4.5, probably fair. Never really got going, did he?
I'll give him a 4. Next, we've got Sammy. So, he's one of the ones that probably I thought they were going to exploit a bit more in game one, but they didn't, but they really did in game two.
I mean, obviously with that improved kicking game from the Blues, they were able to execute on that. It may have been part of the plan in game one, but they just weren't clicking. I do feel for Sammy a bit. He was heavily targeted. Addo Carr was causing him headaches all night, putting him over the sideline, a couple of face rubs in there. It was definitely not his night. So a couple of errors, and yeah, he's unfortunately, for him, making way for Corey Allen ahead of game three. They've got him as a four. I can't really argue with that.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Sammy because he had a decent season this year for the Titans, but 3.5 for me.
Yeah, things will definitely get better for him coming into 2021. I can see a big season for him in clubland. He was able to get it done when, you know, he didn't have the stars in the forwards like Tino and Fifita providing the go forwards. So I think he's going to have a good year in clubland, and hopefully we see him back in the Origin Arena sometime down the track because he is so young.
So yesterday you posted on social media a question and you asked, what lineup change, if any, would you like to see Bennett make ahead of the decider at Suncorp? And we picked out one comment, which we'll discuss, and that's Ryan. So he's saying that Holmes hasn't developed into the fullback they need, and he'd go Allen to fullback and Holmes to wing for Sammy.
Which happened,
and Grant for Hunt. I also think you need to find a place for Paddy Carrigan. Our thoughts?
For me, I think he's spot on with Harry Grant. I would have liked to have seen him start the game. I know what Jake Friend brings to that football team, but he did pick up a pretty nasty head knock off the back of that Nathan Brown run. So we'll have to watch that space pretty quickly. But my thoughts around this are more so potentially missing Munster, definitely missing AJ Brimson. I'm just looking for that spark in that lineup where, you know, nothing's on and they need a play out of nowhere. I think Harry Grant's got that X factor. And the longer that he's on the field, the better their chances of putting points on the board, in my opinion. So I fully agree with that one. And Paddy Carrigan, we've seen what he did for the Broncos this year in a team that was struggling since the resumption all the way through to the end of the year. It'd be hard to drop someone, I think, out of that Queensland forward pack with Lindsay Collins and Jai Arrow doing well, but I certainly don't think it'd be a bad move to bring him in some way, somehow.
Yeah, another player I'd like to see get a few more minutes is Fodawaker as well, because as you know, I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, he's a pleasure to watch. Looking forward to him go around for the Titans next year as well.
So game three preview time now. So some team changes, as we talked about, they got announced this afternoon.
They did. So no changes for the Blues, but there is a toe injury for Addo Carr, which does remain a concern. So you were massive on his performances over the first two games. That would be a huge blow. They have got Nick Kotrick in the 21, so I'd imagine he is the contingency plan, but we'll have to follow that news through the week. But there is a few changes, as we've alluded to, for Queensland. Allen's on the wing for Sammy, but they welcome back Christian Welch into the starting side after receiving a head knock in game one. That's a big boost.
Yeah, big boost. He's a really reliable player, isn't he, Welch? He's not a big standout player. He just does the job.
Yeah, he's one of these guys that just comes through the Storm system and comes out the other side as a professional, reliable player that would plug into any team in the NRL. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see Remus Smith do that.
You probably will, yeah.
So, and the other change, of course, is rookie sensation Harry Grant in the number 14 jersey. It'll be interesting to see how many minutes he does get off the bench. So, Liam, a couple of notes before we get to our official predictions. If the Blues are able to get this done, this would be their first three-peat since 03 to 05.
Yeah, it's quite impressive, but it's been a while, hasn't it? 15 years. I don't know. It's going to be a tough game. Will it happen?
I'm backing them. I think they can do it. I'm taking a lot of confidence out of that game too. But as soon as they announced that there could be 52,000 screaming Queenslanders at Suncorp Stadium, you mentioned it earlier, an 18th man, that did make me a little bit nervous. I think that's a huge, huge factor when the game's on the line to have the crowd behind you and actually get the energy from them. They haven't played in front of big crowds in such a long time. I think it's going to play a part, but I'm still backing in the Blues. If it was in Sydney, I'd be thinking about another comfortable scoreline. But given these changes to the crowd restrictions, if Munster does play and Harry Grant is involved, I think we're talking Blues by 1 to 4 points.
Yeah, I can see the Blues leading for majority of the game and Queensland pipping it right at the end.
You're not even backing us. Wow.
Oh, well, obviously, I hope for us to win. I just think that Wayne's going to mastermind an unbelievable victory like he did in 2001. As I mentioned, I wrote a little note there that in 2001, a very similar...
He's been here before.
Yeah, he's been here before where Queensland won game one. Surprisingly, New South Wales took out game two. And we all remember him bringing Alf back from the UK and the rest is history. So, yeah, it's a tough one. I think that they're just going to pip it and break our hearts. It's not going to be good. I just wish I was there today or yesterday when it officially got announced to Wayne Bennett that Suncorp's going to be a full house, just to see the smirk.
What do you reckon? Just, grin. Just a subtle smirk, or you reckon a fist pump? Or
I think just a subtle smile and maybe a little giggle.
Yeah, maybe a little giggle or a nod to one of his colleagues. Just yeah. Or a wink.
Yes.
We've got this. Yeah. Yep. He's certainly got that confidence about him. We touched on those scenes of him in the sheds after a heavy defeat. So you're with Queensland winning this one. I'm with the Blues by a small margin. But that wraps up, Liam, our podcast. We've got two more for the year to go. We're going to unpack all of the action for Game 3 of Origin, and then we're going to finish on back on the fantasy content with a top 10 tips for a top 10 finish. So that'll be aimed more so at newer or beginner players with some of our best advice. And we're going to frame it as we're telling a friend that's playing for the first time. So really looking forward to unpacking that one, Liam. And obviously we'll have a short break and then back into it from January.
Am I on that podcast?
You are, mate. Oh,
because top 10, I was just thinking, oh, if it was top 500, how to get in the top 500, I'd be like, I could possibly get there.
We can make it that. Let's make it.
Or top 1,000, I'd be there. Top 10, I can always be the one who starts getting the notes ready or something like
mate,
that.
Mate, the arrow is only pointing up for you. We've seen that every year, and we know that you are the draft master. So definitely want you in on that podcast, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. If you've enjoyed the podcast through the year, even if not so much the general NRL stuff, but even the fantasy stuff through the year, and you haven't got around to it yet, you can support us by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes. It just really helps us in the rankings on their platform and helps us attract more listeners, of course, by having those good recommendations. So we'd really appreciate that. But Liam, I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.